want to put the spotlight, first of all, on a problem over the weekend in Newcastle. The former Down Gaelic football star, Gregory McCartan, he has apologised for his actions at a Loyalist band parade, and he says he regrets the entire thing. And we'll explain in a moment what he is regretting. He says, apologies to anyone who took offence. Lesson learned should never have happened. Alcohol, no excuse. I want to speak to the MLA, one of the MLAs for the area, Jim Wells, who was at the Loyalist band parade. Jim Wells, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
You might like to remind us of what Gregory McCartan is apologising for, Jim.
Well, you know, Frank, I was at the parade and I heard the tail end of Mr. McCartan's comments. And basically, there was a parade, the Star of Down parade through Newcastle. Very peaceful. Otherwise, lots of people in the town spending money and enjoying the bands. And Mr. McCartan stood outside a local hotel and shouted up the rah and pro-IRA slogans and hurled curses at some of the band members. Now, to be honest, very few people could hear him because of the wind, but he didn't, bizarrely, put his contribution onto his Twitter account and actually broadcast it for everyone to see. I've never come across someone being incriminated by their own video before. Now, obviously, what happened, he revelled in all the praise that he received for many hours afterwards, and all the nationalist Republicans of South Down were tweeting to say what a brave man he was and supporting him.
Yeah, well, I should interrupt you there, Jim. We've got to keep it absolutely accurate. All the nationalists and Republicans in South Down would not have been supporting him, but some people from South Down did weigh in to say, well done, Greg.
They did, sorry, Frank. But what the point is that it was only after 36 hours later, when he was rumbled and members of the Loyalist community started to see the video, that he suddenly became contrite and apologised for what he did. He apologised because he got caught, rather he apologised because he was genuinely sorry. Now, he had an opportunity to come onto your programme this morning. I understand you did invite him. And I think what he should have done is come onto your programme, explain his actions and apologise profusely, not just to the few people who may have been offended, but to the members of the band and the organisers of the parade. Because this could have started quite an ugly incident. Because remember, the bulk of the people in Newcastle on Saturday night were from the Loyalist community. And, you know, had the band reacted, and they didn't, and I have to applaud the way that they refused to react to the provocation. But had they reacted, we could have had quite a serious incident here in Newcastle, and which would have taken the sort of the shine off the parade. And this sort of action, I'm afraid, takes us back to difficult days. And Mr. McCartan should know better, particularly given the fact that he's a sort of a local sporting, star in some people's eyes.
Yes, he is a footballer with a fine reputation for what he achieved as an all-star footballer. There's no question or doubt about that. He has, I'm sure, diluted the esteem in which he is held by his actions on Saturday night, and he's apologised for that in a state of drunkenness, and indeed possibly still in a state of drunkenness when he was contributing to Twitter afterwards. Would you not accept that?
I accept that, Frank, but of course sometimes people reveal their true character when they're under the influence of alcohol. He certainly wasn't under the influence 36 hours later, when he was still revelling in the praise from some of the Republican community in South Down. But remember, Frank, he's still very much associated with Down GAA. In fact, 2 weeks ago, he was lauded at Croke Park as part of the All-Ireland Down team, which won the Sam Maguire Cup 25 years ago. And I understand he's also still involved actively in the GAA, both in County Down and in London. So therefore, you know, the GAA have to answer a few questions here. Now, Frank, you covered a few months ago an event where a lady with a Northern Ireland supporters top was seen drunk shouting sectarian comments about Roman Catholics at an event, I believe, in West Tyrone. Now, the IFA reacted very strongly and banned that lady from attending matches. Now, I see this as a direct parallel here. Both were drunk, both let down their sports profoundly. And I think the GAA should take action against Mr. McCartan, and I'm absolutely confident they won't, because they refuse to answer every letter I've sent to the County Down Board in my 21 years as an MLA. Though I am taking this up with the Ulster Secretary, Mr. McAvoy, in Armagh, because I think something should be done to make it clear that leading sportsmen should not behave like this.
Yeah, you did say there that you have not had your letters answered when you raise issues with the GAA. Would it also be fair to say, Jim, however, that you have refused invitations from the GAA to attend events that they've invited you to?
I don't attend sporting events on a Sunday, Frank. It's as simple as that.
Many of them are on Saturdays. Many of them are on Monday nights or Tuesday nights.
Yeah, vast bulk of them have been Sunday events. I wouldn't attend a soccer, cricket, football event on a Sunday. Usually, you know, a block booker at Windsor Park for Northern Ireland. I forfeit my right to watch, for instance, the meeting match against Belarus and the one against Norway. I wouldn't go because it was on a Sunday. But also, I feel that until the Down GAA at least give me the respect of acknowledging my letters, which I never do, about so many issues that have emerged about the behaviour of GAA supporters in South Down, I don't believe that I should be attending any of their events. And you're aware of the Great Escape, celebrating the Mays prison outbreak, which was held at the GAA club, wolf tone type concerts where people are shouting up IRA slogans and broadcasting on Twitter and Facebook. You know, this is not tolerable in this day and age. And the IFA showed that they're not going to tolerate it as far as soccer fans are concerned. So why on earth should the GAA turn a blind eye to something that's taking us back to a past that we want to forget? Back to a sectarian, anti-Protestant ethos that's sometimes exhibited by people when they have a bit of drink in them. And we need to put this to bed, and we need to take stern action against anyone who's involved in it. And the fact that Mr. McCartan isn't prepared to come on your programme this morning and speak to thousands of people and be honest and say, look, A, it happened because I was drunk. B, it was totally wrong. And most importantly, it'll never happen again. I think that's important, because people in South Down apparently look up to this gentleman because of his sporting success. He won an All-Ireland in 1994. So therefore, he has a responsibility to set the tone for the community. And going back to London and not dealing with legitimate concerns, I think it's a very retrograde step.
Part of the reason that he may have refused the invitation to come on this programme may be down to the fact that you've called on the PSNI to take action, and when the police become involved, people do take legal advice.
Well, yes, but there's no charges here yet, Frank. Therefore, he's perfectly at liberty, and I think it would certainly help his situation if he went public and not only just issued a statement, but faced up to the music, and you would have given them a fair and balanced interview. I mean, I've known you for years, and you would have given them exactly the same time as me and given him an opportunity to address my criticisms and put his part of the story. He's very fortunate that the Pride of the Hill were so disciplined that they didn't react. Remember, this band included very young people, in early teens and even younger in the band. And he's so lucky that they exercised discipline and kept marching and didn't react, because in any other situation they could well have. And he was heavily outnumbered. So he was fortunate that between the band and the marshals there wasn't an incident here. But it was no thanks to Mr. McCartan. And I could say this was an isolated incident, Frank, because I was in the town and there were a lot of visitors, a lot of pubs and chip shops and all doing a row and trade. And what I would say is that apart from this incident, it was a very enjoyable night. 29 bands present. As one previously, the previous night in Banbridge, where there were 90 bands present. And it was a wonderful display of Orange culture, which brought money to the town, brought thousands of visitors in. And that's the way it should be. We should tolerate each other and not start shouting pro-IRA slogans as young boys passing on a band parade.
Yeah, and a couple of things that should be added to that. The band did act with great dignity when they were provoked.
They did.
And the band also liaised with the Catholic Church in relation to the Mass in Newcastle that evening for the timing of the parade. Am I right
on that? That's right, Frank. Yes, you're right, Frank. You're very obviously very well briefed. The Star of Down band about 10 years ago, reached agreement with the local Roman Catholic Church that the parade would not start until the last person who was attending Sunday night Mass had left the precincts of the church. And that was a good working relationship that's been established with the church, because the band didn't want to interfere with people's right to worship. Secondly, there's no flags or bunting put up for this parade. And thirdly, they liaise very closely with the police to ensure that everything is done under the instructions of the marshals, and the parade ends at a time that doesn't cause disruption to the town. Also going to say, the band parade is held deliberately in September rather than July and August, so it doesn't disrupt trade to our, one of our major tourist attractions in Newcastle. So the band has behaved impeccably, and those who participated. And all we ask is that the community in Newcastle either come out and enjoy and support the parade, or if it's not their cup of tea, that they just sit at home or sit in their local bars or hotels and ignore it. So therefore, I think it's retrograde that after the 10 years hard work by the band to try and, you know, build up a good community spirit around this parade, that Mr. McCartan decides to try and destroy this. And I think in hindsight, he realised that he's made a very bad mistake, but he needs to go a wee bit further than issuing a statement from London.
And finally, Jim, because we did touch on it there, you have been invited by the Gaelic Athletic Association to attend events. They do reach out a welcoming arm to you when events are happening in your neck of the woods.
Hundreds of them, Frank. But of course, they do issue those to all the district councillors and the MLAs. And the MP, who I notice has been very quiet about this this incident, Mr. Hazard, once again has been hiding behind his computer and has not issued a statement condemning this behaviour by Mr. McCartan. That would be true to form for him. But I mean, the text two on this situation, Frank, they need to start reacting to my letters. I'm the only unionist MLA now for South Down. I frequently get complaints about the behaviour of certain GAA members, and I think it's only right that they recognise my existence. Because I say other sporting bodies in South Down couldn't be more fastidious in responding to me about any concerns I have. But the GAA are noticeable by their absence. It seems to be an issue with the County Down Board, who just refuse to recognise that I even exist. And therefore, I will certainly not be attending any of their events when I'm treated like this. But secondly, I do emphasise the fact that I just do not support organised sporting events on the Sunday. I have better things to do with my time, with my family and church activities, and therefore I won't be there and I'll never be there. And I think it's sad that the GAA seems to spend so much of its time playing sport on a Sunday and sometimes disturbing several communities by doing so because of the crowd they attend. So I think it's a bit of a dark day for Newcastle. I think Mr. McCartan, who I have no doubt is listening to this interview from afar, will reflect and maybe do the right thing and go on to your show, because you're compared to some of the interviewers that I've faced in recent weeks, Frank, you are very mild and balanced, and therefore he would get a fair hearing from you. And I understand, because of your ethos from South Down, you understand the situation better than most. So therefore I urge him to take up your invitation, which I know has been made to him. And secondly, I think he should contact the band, which is the Pride of the Hill Band in Rough Island. I can provide him with the appropriate address and apologise profusely for what he did to them. And I think that is the way forward. I'm not holding my breath, by the way.
But in the meantime, the door, that welcoming door from the Gaelic Athletic Association, that would be directed towards Jim Wales, who obviously finds the GAAs being a problem in his community. You're not prepared to step through that, even in an era when the British Army has a GAA team, or the PSNI have a GAA team, or Her Majesty the Queen has been to Croke Park, or her portrait hangs in GAA headquarters, or the Duke of Edinburgh received a hurling stick as a special gift. You're not prepared to take any form of step.
Well, I understand even Thailand has a GAA team. I found that out the other night. What I would say, Frank, when they start to give me the courtesy of recognising that I exist, and by actually agreeing to meet me to discuss the huge concerns I have about what has been going on in some of their clubhouses in recent months, till they do that, I'm certainly not going to respond. I do respond in the sense I do send an apology to these invitations, but certainly I want to see the GAA given me my position as the MLA for 25 years in the constituency. And they've never, ever met me once in 25 years, and they've never invited me to meet them in 25 years and have never acknowledged any letter I've sent to them in 25 years. That is no way to treat someone who's been the MLA for the area for 25 years.
And in fairness, Jim, they have invited you to events. They have invited you to events. There's no question about that. And it's an association that is literally good enough for the Queen, but it's not good enough for Jim Wales.
Yeah, but so sadly, Frank, it's an association that hasn't got one member of the unionist community involved at any level. And the question I'd have to ask you, Frank, if soccer or rugby in South Down did not have a single Roman Catholic participant, supporter, or person interested in the sport, there would be very significant questions asked. The second question to ask,
let's take them one at a time. On that, when people join the Gaelic Athletic Association, they're not asked what religion they are. They're not asked which political party they prefer to vote for. They're not asked which village they come from and whether or not they are welcome in another community. We're talking about an organisation here, Jim, which had 83,000 fans at the final on Saturday night. 83,000 fans. For the women's final on Sunday, 53,000 fans. Now, there's 80 and 50, whatever that is, 100,000, 80 and 50s, 130-odd thousand people watched two matches over the space of one weekend. Last night in Newry, there were 4,000 people watching two clubs play. There were 25,000 people watched club football in Down alone over this weekend. I'm just looking at the GAA website here of the sponsors who are queuing up to sponsor the GAA: Super Value, Centra Ireland, Bushmills, Kellogg's, First Trust Bank, Ulster Bank, Bank of Ireland, LucasAid Sport, Craig of Concrete, Linwoods, Canal Court Hotel, AIG, Vodafone, Guinness. The light goes on and on and on. They couldn't all be wrong, Jim.
But Frank, equally, someone who asked to join a rugby or soccer team in South Down or football team are not asked the religion either. But we know that they are genuinely cross-community. But the question is, if they had all been up from the Protestant community, there'd be very serious questions asked by people as to why this has happened. The GAA is still a cold house for the Protestant community. And when it allows things to happen in its clubhouses, which no unionist could contemplate, and then refuse to do anything about them, then there has to be issues of concern here. And remember, this is an institution that gets large amounts, millions of pounds of taxpayers' money, yet a large proportion of those taxpayers' money could not have anything to do with the sport because of the baggage that it has. And it needs to address issues which makes it such a cold house. And I said, I make the challenge again.
Yeah, but Jim, you are sounding like an isolated voice here, because I've given you examples of how many people embrace the GAA, how many groups and organisations embrace it, how from the Queen down it's embraced, but it's not embraced by you. And maybe, and I'm sure your experience last Saturday night with Mr. McCartan is negative, understandably negative and totally unacceptable, but I'm not talking about one drunk person standing shouting abuse in the street. I'm talking about the Gaelic Athletic Association raising its arms towards you to say, Jim, come and have a closer look. There's a welcome to you. I'll personally take you to a football match. Would you accept that on a Saturday night?
No, I wouldn't, Frank. But what I would say to you is, counterbalancing that, for instance, was the Great Escape event, celebrating the Mays Prison Escape, in which a person died, which was held in a GAA club in South Down, or a Wolf Tone type concert was held where they visited each other shouting IRA songs, or where the hunger strike events are regularly held in GAA clubs. Now, if that was happening in soccer or rugby clubs, there'd be uproar. And secondly, Frank, had there been a prominent soccer or a football or rugby player standing screaming at a Republican parade, would he still be involved in the sport today? He certainly would not. He'd be out in his ear. And the GAA needs to show very clearly that it will not tolerate this sectarian behaviour, which is so prevalent in South Down in so many clubs. That has to be dealt with. But secondly, they need to start answering my letters.
Yeah.
And that's how, I mean, and even the other organisations.
Jim, I'm quite sure your letters will be answered, considering now you've made this call on the radio this morning. And I also need to emphasise that being someone from South Down, you've made reference there to sectarianism being prevalent in South Down in GAA circles. I invite you again to come and look at GAA clubs in South Down to see what they're doing with children from under eights through to senior level. The contribution they're making to society, and the doors are open to everyone to come and join the club.
Frank,
there is no restriction or no ban whatsoever on anyone of any persuasion, any ethnicity, any religion joining the Gaelic Athletic Association. Those are simply the facts.
Frank, the doors are open to a very whole, very cold house for the Protestant Unionist and Loyalist community, a very cold house. And the GAA has to ask themselves, after 100 years, why is it that so few, if any, of the Protestant community feel comfortable at attending their events and participating in their culture? That's what needs to be done, and that's the uncomfortable question they have to ask.
Okay, Jim, thank you. I'll ask the question, is it Jim who feels uncomfortable, or is it Protestants per se who feel uncomfortable? And, you know, why on earth are all those companies queuing up to sponsor this fine association? This is not in any way taking away from the really totally unacceptable behaviour of one former footballer last Saturday night. And we emphasise again how dignified the band were in the face of provocation.